Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP Section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guests.
Thank you, Sarah. Welcome to the Building a Tax and Financial Planning Advisory Business podcast series. In this episode, I'm joined by a few CPA financial planners, and together we're going to tackle the topic of technology in a PFP practice. And it's not as daunting as you might be thinking. We're trying to make your life easier here. If you're just starting, what are the three things you need to do? For someone who's just starting, what would it look like? For someone who's further along, how would that differ? Well, it differs when I'm further along because no one allows me to touch the technology anymore. So we've got some panelists with us today. And why don't we start with Jean-Luc? And what software do you feel is really essential when you're starting a financial planning practice within your firm?
I would think that a file management system that allows you to securely share files with clients would be essential. You can't even begin to work because you have sensitive documents to exchange with clients. So if you don't already have that in place, you do need it. I use ShareFile. It backs up my files to the cloud. It also allows me to securely share files with clients, and I use that many times a day. I also use a CRM software many times a day, which allows me to keep track of client issues and to-dos. Every client meeting ends with what I call assignments, to-dos for me, to-dos for the clients. And so to keep track of those items that need to be accomplished, the CRM software is really helpful, I would say essential. And then if you're doing comprehensive financial plans, not just engagements targeting certain focuses and single issues, then the financial planning software is essential as well. I use MoneyGuide Pro. It's rather intuitive to start using it, but it's also really beefy in terms of all the bells and whistles that it offers to do really complex financial plans.
Thanks, Jean-Luc. Brooke, you're doing some more things now on the asset side that you mentioned in one of our other podcasts, but what softwares do you feel are essential? And it's okay if you repeat some that Jean-Luc's using.
Okay. Yes, thanks, Ted. I do think this is one of the most vexing questions for somebody starting a practice or moving from tax into financial planning, because we do need a little bit more software. So I'll just quickly talk about my technology stack. So one of the decisions that I made maybe 8 years ago now was to go with a virtual desktop. So I use Right Size Solutions for that, and it's given me comfort knowing that here in my local office, I don't have any electronic client files. They're all, you know, on servers in the United States, but other parts of the country, and backed up to different parts of the country. So I feel my client data is safe and secure. So virtual desktop was important to me, and it allows me to work wherever I might happen to be, even if that would be out of the country. The CRM is, I think, critical, and I made a mistake and tried to save money when I was starting before I launched into a CRM, and I think that was a poor decision. So I think right away, if you don't already have one for your tax practice, you need to make that decision. And I would like to share the names of my providers, but that's not necessarily an endorsement. And I'm sure starting out now, you would make different decisions, and that is one of the problems of having a legacy business. You've started with a particular software, and it's very hard to change. But I use ProTracker for my CRM, and it has worked well for me, but it doesn't quite talk as well with some of my other softwares, maybe some of the newer choices like Redtail or Juncture or what have you. So that is the hub of my business, the CRM. And then, as Jean-Luc mentioned, that safe sharing of information with clients is very critical. So I use eMoney, which not only is a financial planning software, but it has a vault and it has safe sharing with clients. And it It is an aggregator. My clients really love it, and I love it too. It saves me a lot of time. An aggregator is basically a private client portal where clients can connect their accounts and their investment account, their Schwab account, or even their 401k. They can connect all of their information, and it is, you know, it's high level of security, and you can't actually get out to a client's Schwab account from their eMoney portal, but eMoney goes out and basically grabs the information, not just on a nightly basis, but throughout the day. So clients can go to their portal, see their entire net worth. They can drill down into their investment portfolio and see maybe a 15-minute delayed update of their account values if they were inclined to watch it that closely. But again, I find that very helpful to me so that the information from my clients is readily available. Other software that I use Morningstar Workstation. I need that for if you are doing anything with investments, you need to have a database that you can get the research information that you need. I did mention that for some clients, one of my older softwares for financial planning is MoneyTree, and I still use that for on occasion because I know how to use it so well, so I can just quickly do a financial plan. Some of the more recent additions to my technology stack on my website, I'll just say that my website is hosted by Advisor Websites, and I've been happy with them, but whether they're the right choice for you or not, I don't know, but I have been happy with them. I did add TimeTrade as a calendar to my website, and I use JotForm on my website, also GoToMeeting and eFax. For risk management, I do use Finametrica, which is a psychographic, mostly a psychographic questionnaire that clients can take to help as a starting point for our conversation about what their risk comfort levels are. So, and it is statistically significant, so that's interesting for clients to see where they stack up with the rest of the population that has taken that risk questionnaire. Again, it's just a starting point, but it gives all of us a bit of a comfort level in trying to decide what is the right way for clients to be invested.
Thanks, Brooke. That's quite an array. Susan, I know in your practice you do some very deep and complex financial planning and not managing assets like the others are. What softwares do you find are important to be using in a financial planning practice?
Well, definitely the financial planning software. That is the most important software for us. We are using eMoney. And actually, we used to use MoneyGuide Pro, like John Luke mentioned, and that is an excellent software. But we switched to eMoney because last year at Engage, I sat in the session about financial planning software and learned that eMoney had a document file storage vault that was just second to none. And when I left the conference, I got back to the office and did my research, and we decided to switch, which is a huge undertaking for a firm like ours that is so dependent on that software. The transition went very well, but it is a very time-consuming thing. But we're very happy with eMoney. We actually developed our own document storage vault when we started our firm about 13 years ago. And at that time, it was really state of the art. There was nothing else out there like it. But we wanted to be paperless from the very beginning. And so we developed that. But when I found out last year about eMoney's vault, we realized that it was going to take a lot of dollars to keep ours as efficient as what eMoney had done. So that's why we decided to switch over, and we switched over our personal proprietary document storage documents over to it as well. And our clients are thrilled because it's all in one software instead of having to send them to two different places. And then, of course, we have our email is IBM Notes, which is a very high security that the CIA uses, Treasury Department uses email, and there are CRM capabilities in there. We don't, since we don't manage assets, we don't have the same needs as far as the CRM goes. We've checked CRM software out. We check one out at least annually to see if it would be a good investment for us. And what we have within this special email system really handles everything that we need. So we haven't purchased a separate one. But those are the only two that we have. We don't have to deal with all of the Morningstar and Advent systems that an asset managing firm might have to use.
Great. Thanks, Susan. Joel Bruckenstein does a presentation at the two-day pre-conference workshop, and Joel runs T3 conference. He is a guru about technology in the financial planning arena. Before we had Joel, we had Michael Goodman. Michael's been a technology aficionado for quite a while. Michael, what software do you use? Or I know even with you, though, there's been an evolution. What softwares did you use, and what are you using today?
Sure, happy to share that with you. I think the first thing I want to add to sort of help and complement some of the things that have been said is that as a technology person myself, I think it's very easy to get caught up in what you hear other people saying they're using or some new product or the sort of shiny thing over there. And you really need to sort of focus on what is the software that you need for three things. What is the software you need to make your clients understand the communication you're trying to give to them and or service them? So what software, what technology is going to be good for your clients to understand and add value with? Two is, what's going to make sense for your firm? So if you're operating in a business where there's multiple advisors or multiple employees at least, what software is going to make sense so that you can all collaborate, that you can all communicate and work on clients together? And then third is, as an advisor, so that's what we've been mostly talking about so far today, is what software is going to make it better for you to be able to do your job as an advisor? And I think that those are the three things I would think of first. It is very, very tempting, though, to hear about technology that's exciting and sort of jump on that wagon. And the things that I would emphasize also to help complement is sort of from an infrastructure standpoint. So the first thing I think is, what is our sort of backbone going to look like? What is our technology platform going to be like? And as has been expressed already by a couple of other folks on the panel, is a cloud-based solution, which of course, as Brooke said, is just really a server and, you know, somewhere else, preferably in the United States, would be my recommendation. And that's how we work with a virtual desktop similarly. We use a company called Itegria for that, that handles our overall technology. There is no need for sort of a local tech guy anymore, which is pretty cool. From a planning standpoint, we use eMoney as well. And that's really hard for me as a CPA. For many, many years, I held on to my Excel spreadsheets and did not want to let go of them, but was convinced for a couple of reasons. But most importantly, as we have multiple advisors, quality control, and you can't do that in Excel. It's very difficult to have sort of a quality control. The next big piece of software that I would emphasize is the CRM, or the client relationship management software. Unfortunately, still too many people are using Outlook as a CRM, and that's really not a very powerful way to maintain relationships. We use Juncture Cloud. We've been using Juncture since, I think, 2004 or 5, and its various versions, and there's a lot of great CRMs out there. We think that that works perfectly for us. And the thing I would emphasize there is, once again, all the information about a client is in there, all the notes from the meetings, et cetera, and everybody from the firm can see all that, so somebody could pick up a relationship and run with it. The other thing that we use CRMs for, which I think, unfortunately, the majority of people don't take advantage of, is what's called workflow management. And in its simplest concept, and all the CPAs, I think, would appreciate this because we all come from sort of a checklist audit background. Simplest concept here is you bring on a new client. Everybody knows that when you have a new client, there's probably somewhere between 5 and 15 steps that need to take place in that process. You can set all those steps up into your CRM such that when the first step's done, the notes go in, you check a box, step two automatically pops up for the next person. So this is that workflow concept that I think a lot of people are missing out on. As Jean-Luc said, document management, and other panelists spoke about this, so we use a program called WorldDocs, which handles our document management, and that allows us to get access to files much quicker than sort of a traditional file structure of just sort of clicking through folders. The best example I can think of, the way to describe that, is for the older folks on the call that recall when you would go to the library, there was this sort of card catalog that you would look up to find a book, and that would tell you exactly what shelf it's on, so you didn't have to sort of scan through the shelves to find your book. We use many, many other pieces of software, so I would just sort of emphasize those three.
Thank you, Michael. And I know that one of the things that Joel talks about, and I want each of you to address this while we give our three baby steps going forward, but do all these different softwares talk with each other? The cloud computing is fantastic because you can work from anywhere, but many of you have mentioned many, many different pieces of software. Do they integrate or are they all standalone? That's a question I have that you might address. But then also, what steps might you take, baby steps that is, in terms of getting started? If you're going to get into the financial planning from your tax practice, how do you integrate or what do you look to in terms of the basic pieces, or how do you even get started with this? And we'll start right from the beginning again. Jean-Luc, first of all, do your different pieces talk to each other? And secondly, what baby steps should somebody take when they're deciding which place to go to for, because there's many places for each of these pieces of software?
Yeah, of course, the more the different pieces talk together, the less duplication of input we have to make. And so it's really important to engineer our different pieces to fit together. For instance, my CRM is a Redtail, and it automatically imports emails from my clients into their own CRM file. So when I'm looking for a client email, I don't have to sort through Outlook. I can just go to the CRM and find all the emails for a particular client. The financial planning software also imports the data from the client's portfolio. I use Orion as the accounting system for the portfolios. So when a client comes in for a meeting, I don't need to update their financial account balances. That's automatically fed into the financial planning software. So those efficiencies are wonderful and relatively new. It was only a few years ago that we had to do all this manual entry. So for those of us that have gone through the road of doing everything manually to having some efficiencies, it's a wonderful thing, and it makes it all the more easier, I think, to get started in financial planning. Where to find them? I think finding a peer group and finding out what works for them and comparing their practice to the practice you envision and see if that's a good fit for you is a great resource. The AICPA Financial Planning Section is a wonderful community, and the ways to connect with that community is to attend Engage. And for a lot of CPAs just taking the first steps, it's to attend the pre-conference session on how to get into financial planning where technology is addressed. And what I always recommend is for anyone starting in financial planning is to take the free offer that the various financial planning software give of it's generally 2 weeks free of use, and I always recommend take them up on those 3 weeks and do your own financial plan to kind of kick things around and see how it works, see how you like it.
Well, great point, Jean-Luc. And also, I know at the conference that a lot of these vendors offer discounts if you sign up at the show when you do, or if you do buy the software. Brooke, you mentioned a lot of pieces of software that you're using. A, again, do they integrate? And B, what would you recommend somebody when they're starting out? Maybe not necessarily getting all the ones you've got right away, but what would be the baby steps to take?
Many of my pieces of software do integrate, but there are some gaps. So that's something that I want to work on for my own practice management. But once you are integrated into a piece of software, it is a challenge to change. So I have to be brave and consider doing that. So baby steps, probably one important idea that you should be considered, are you going to be working with clients virtually, or are you going to be in an office hoping to work with clients in person? And that can, I think, have a big impact on how you would structure your technology. You might do it exactly the same, but if you are committed to working with clients around the country, or you personally want to be more mobile so that you can be wherever you need to be and work with clients, you definitely need to take that factor into account as you're deciding which software to work with. I think Jean-Luc said many important things, that use the trials to try out the software. And Michael also said the same thing, that you can't completely rely on somebody else's experience and input. Yes, if they've tried a software and they see aspects that they think are shortcomings, that's good to know. But it's quite personal, and we probably all work with software a little bit differently. So it's a trial and error to a certain degree, and using those free, 2-week periods of time to really delve in and try out the different features of the software. Or again, reach out to us, and we are quite experienced with the different pieces of software, and we can maybe even do a demo. And of course, the software companies will do demos as well. I think those are my baby steps.
Thanks, Brooke. And Susan, you described very well before the transition you made from MoneyGuide Pro to eMoney. Michael, what baby steps might somebody take in developing with the software they're going to use?
The baby steps that I would recommend somebody takes when getting a new software package is to go deep within their package before they take on additional software. I think the stats that have been quoted is that most people only use a small percentage of the capabilities of the software and technology that they already have on hand. So the baby steps to me is learn more about the programs and technology you have on hand, utilize the technical support and the consultants that might exist from that technology company, explain to them how you use the software now, how you have questions or challenges, and let them introduce other best practices that they have seen from other companies that have a similar type of practice that you do, so that you can get more value out of what you're already paying for before you spend money on new or different technology.
Great. Thank you. And I want to thank Michael, Susan, Brooke, and Jean-Luc for their time today on this podcast.
On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Ted Saremski. If you enjoyed this podcast, I highly encourage you to join us at the Building a Tax and Financial Planning Advisory Business Workshop and visit the Planning and Tax Advisory Services Hub at aicpa.org/grow-advisory-services to learn more about the why, the what, and the how. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.